Eternal Father, we do bless your name. And we thank you for this day that you have given us. We're thankful, O God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, we're grateful today that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, as we come, we lift up before you those that are going through seasons of testing, those that are sick, those that are facing various trials. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you might release whatever it is they stand in need of. It may be emotional, physical, financial, spiritual. We're grateful that you are a needs-meeting God and that you always stand ready to meet us at the point of our need. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us of our sins that we've committed individually and corporately, those things that we should have done that we didn't, things that we did that we should not have done. Oh God, we're thankful that we're covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, have your way. Rest, rule, and abide in your people as only you can. In Christ Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. What a joy, what a delight it is to be alive. Amen. And to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I want to invite your attention to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to be preaching from verses 18 through 25. I'd like to read in your hearing. I want to preach about when it's hard to keep your joy. When it's hard to keep your joy. This is what the scripture says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows: after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall bring forth a child and bear a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. When it's hard to keep your joy. One would think that as believers in Christ, we would allow little to rob us from our joy. I mean, think about it. You've been redeemed. You've been called out from among them. That's a blessing. You're clothed in your right mind. That's a blessing. You have forgiveness of sins. Your name is written in the guest book of heaven. The devil is defeated. We are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have so much as believers in Christ to rejoice about. And the tragedy is that so many of us in Christ never quite enjoy him. We know a lot of facts and Bible archaeology and outlines about him, but we really don't enjoy him. Because when you enjoy him, there's evidence that you have a relationship with him. If you love your spouse, there ought to be some evidence every now and then that you have a relationship with them. There ought to be some signs, some evidence of your love, your affection, your devotion to them. What is it that makes us miss out on this joy that the Lord has for us? When we look at this word joy, it's an interesting word. Scripture tells us that the word joy means to leap, to spin around with pleasure. Let me repeat that because I don't want to move forward without giving you some idea of what the scripture says or what joy means. To leap, to spin around with pleasure. A stronger term would be rejoicing, gladness, the cause or occasion of joy. Isn't that amazing? Am I suggesting that we should be leaping, jumping, and spinning around? Well, let me tell you something. If the Lord has been good to you, if the Lord has blessed you, every now and then, it's not such a bad idea to leap, spin around, and rejoice for what God is doing in your life. Amen. Okay, we're about ready to cross over into 2018. Almost a whole year, God has kept you. Okay, there's some families right now making funeral arrangements for a loved one, and here you are, clothed in your right mind, alive, able to move, articulation of speech, blood running warm in your veins. Your family circle has not been broken through the whole year. God has kept all of you together. Some stuff that could have caused you to lose your mind, yet the Lord kept your mind together. Those are things that make you want to jump up, spin around, and rejoice with gladness because of who God is. There ought to be some joy in the house. There ought to be some joy given what God is doing through you and in you. How dare we act like God owes us what we have? All that we have is simply because of the grace of God. You're not that smart. You're not that good. You don't have it that together. Amen. We just don't. But it's God's unmerited favor toward us that we are able to rejoice. And I know some folks say, well, you know, we don't do that. All right, I'm with you. I happen to have grown up in an atmosphere where that's what you do. So when folk are calm and docile, I'm okay with that. But every now and then I've got to shout and say, Lord, I praise you. I thank you because I know that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would not be where I am. So I got to give him a wave. I got to give him a praise. I got to give him a thank you, Jesus, because of what you're doing in my life. That ought to emanate some joy. What can we learn from this man? What can he teach us about how to rejoice when it gets hard? Beloved, because we would be the first to admit, 2017, I'm glad to see it go because let me tell you, it's been a rough year. Good riddance. Had some difficulty, had some stress, struggle, and strain. And some of us lost our joy. Situations and circumstances, events that were beyond our control, visited us. And we did not handle it so well. And the enemy snuck in and stole and took, and we let him have his way with our joy. It's all on our face. Sometime before you even show up and say, oh, Lord, here they come. You know, that ought not be the description they have for those of us who are in Christ. Yes, it may be hard, but I don't have to look like what I'm going through. So, I was intrigued when I looked at this story about Joseph and Mary. I could not let it go. I wanted to go to some familiar places, but I was intrigued by Mary and Joseph, and I was really intrigued by Joseph. Because as we talk about this thing called joy, I'm trying to figure out how this man could hold on to joy given what he had heard from Mary. My first point is this. It's hard to hold on to your joy when life gets complicated and when we have to face disappointment and setbacks. But remember, beloved, that we must fight for our joy. You hear what I'm saying? You sometimes, as well as I, have got to fight to maintain and hold on to our joy. Because if we're not careful, we slip and slide into this place called joylessness. And all of us know it when we see it. No heart of thanksgiving, no gladness, no delight. As a matter of fact, when you see it coming, you want to go the other way. So how did Joseph manage this? I was intrigued by this because he was a very joyful man. You know why he was joyful? Because he was about to get married to his beloved, Mary. This is the woman whom he loved. Every time he saw her, he got a twinkle in his eye. He could not wait when he saw her at the synagogue. He could not wait to consummate this marriage with this woman that he loved. Oh, he was waiting. He was right excited, I tell you about now. But then, something happened. And scripture's unclear as to whether or not she said, "Boo, come here, I need to talk to you for a minute. Something about to happen. And the next couple months you're going to see me and you're going to begin to wonder about some things." As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit did it. I can't give you all of the details. I don't know how he did it, but that's what happened when I had this conversation. So I'm just letting you know. Now, his joy is now pretty much shot because he knows that he's not the father. And he's trying to make sense out of that which does not seem to make sense. His joy had taken a beating. And every now and then, beloved, our joy also takes a beating. Stuff happens that you would not have expected to happen. And now you've got to deal with the collateral damage of it. So what can we learn from this man, Joseph? How do we fight to keep our joy? Well, we know that, again, he had to be disappointed. Folks were perhaps whispering, wondering. He's wondering. But verse 19 says something interesting. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly." Joseph maintained his devotion to God and the ways of God. In other words, he did not allow that situation or circumstance to change who he was, even though it was difficult, even though it was painful, even though it was embarrassing. His actions suggested he was fighting for his joy because he could have done so many other things to Mary. She could have been stoned. He had a number of options, but he chose none of them. Instead, the decency of this man shows up, a man of compassion. What I'm suggesting is that real joy can exist even when we have to deal with difficult times. I don't have to put my joy away because I'm going through a season of testing, because we're going to always have seasons of testing. The only time you will not is when we cross over on the other side. But between now and then, we're going to have some tests. And I don't have to choose to look like what I'm going through, because I have to always be mindful that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's when I have to begin to draw on the scripture that I have put into my spirit to deal with those seasons of testing and difficulty when they come, because they are going to come. They came in 17 and they're waiting for you in 18. The question is, how are you going to choose to handle them? The choice is ours. We got to fight. We got to fight the temptation to give up and to hang out in despair. We've got to fight the temptation to quit, to become casual in our walk with Him. We've got to fight the pull and temptation of a world that says church really is not that important. You have to fight the temptation of family and friends who don't understand why you've given Jesus this level of time, commitment, money, and energy. There's so many things you and I have to fight against as we aim to walk and follow the Master. But I'm glad that the text says, weeping may endure for a night, it tells us in Scripture, but joy will come in the morning. In other words, I'm not going to always be where I'm at. I have to begin to see that God has taken me through this for a reason. He is very purposeful. And because of that, I'm trusting the outcome to Him. So I'm going to choose to rejoice. It's going to be on my face. It's going to be in the way I say things. It's going to be in my speech that I've not given up. I'm still trusting and believing in God. 2 Corinthians, let me share some of this with you because Paul says something here that is very powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. It says, we gave no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we command ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed. And listen to this. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Did you hear that? He named all of the stuff that he had to go through, and he says, sorrowful, yes, but juxtaposed to always rejoicing. He's saying, in spite of whatever I've had to deal with, I may have been sorrowful, but yet at the same time, I am rejoicing. And that ought to be the posture of each believer, that yes, sorrowful, difficult, yes, but I am rejoicing because I know who I am and whose I am. And because of that, I can handle what comes my way. And beloved, be careful for what I call the joy busters. Watch out for this whole thing of comparing what you have and what someone else has. That'll mess with your joy because what God has for you, let Him give it to you. You don't have to worry about getting what anyone else has. Covetousness, wanting what someone else has. You envious and jealous because of what someone else, that'll mess with your joy. It will. This whole thing of be careful of the people you hang with. Be very selective about folks who are very toxic in nature. Always drama. Then maybe you not want to hang out with them so much because you kind of know their MO by now. You know that's how they roll. So maybe you would do well not to hang out with them because all they're going to do is mess with your spirit. Now you're all jacked up because you've been hanging with them. And Hebrews talks about the root of bitterness. Be careful that you don't allow bitterness to become a joy buster because you're bitter at something that someone said to you or did to you, and you cannot seem to get over it. That'll kill your joy every time. See, some of this stuff we have control to deal with because of the choices we decide to make. We've got to choose that we're going to fight to keep our joy. And here's the thing. It's a daily fight. Who told you it was a once and for all arrangement? Never. The Bible says in 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy your joy. He wants to destroy your peace. He wants to destroy you, your future, your family. That's what he comes to do. But I'm glad that the God I serve is bigger than John 10:10, that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God has come that we might have life. We might have it more abundantly. So those are some things we need to look out for. Secondly, remember to find joy in the Father's guidance. When it's hard to hold on to your joy, remember the Father's guidance is not far away. Let me tell you what I mean. Okay, it says that, verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What I like about Joseph is that while he wrestled with this thing, he had enough sense to listen to what God was saying. This was a very stressful time. Life wasn't making sense. And sometimes, so it is with us. Life gets messy. But I like the fact that the angel of the Lord showed up and gave him a sense of clarity when life was not making much sense. I'm glad, as you should be glad, that we serve a God who sees us in our predicament and does not just leave us there, but shows up with guidance. And whenever I decide to follow his leading, it invariably leads to joy. Because every time I step outside of the will of God and become self-directed and self-willed, what I have known, and you have as well, is that I invite a certain amount of drama, misery, and confusion into my life simply because I have chosen not to follow what he has said. God is a God who loves to communicate with his people. He's given us his word. We have the Holy Spirit. We've got discernment. We've got conviction. I mean, all kinds of ways he's talking to us, wanting to, don't do that. No, don't go there. No. He's constantly. And it's a question of whether or not I'm going to listen to what he says. God has spoken. And as you look at that chapter, you keep seeing, and the angel of the Lord appeared, and the angel of the Lord appeared. And every time you see Joseph follow what the angel of the Lord said to do, he was going one place to another. And guess what he didn't do? He didn't say, well, wait a minute. I just left. He picked up and went. Whenever I pick up and do what he says to do, my life is joyous. Now, I didn't say it being easy. We got to get away from this easy thing. in this world, you're going to have tribulation, so you're going to catch some hell. So just come to terms with the fact, okay, now I'm excited because now I'm like, okay, Lord, good. Now I'm going to see how you're going to work this out because you've done it before. So I'm believing and trusting that you're going to do it again. So when hardship comes, I'm just waiting. I'm going to see how you're going to work this out. Matter of fact, while I'm waiting, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray, but I know that I can trust the outcome unto you. But it starts with listening and being open to receive what he has. And the misery index in many of our lives is a byproduct of the choices that we make to fail to line up with what he has said. What he said. Lord is saying, listen, I want you to let me lead you, and you'll find your life will be one of much more joy. Because you know best. Matter of fact, prayer says, before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Before I even utter on my lips what I want, he's already figured it out and now beginning to work it out. Amazing how God works. He knows best. As I look at 18, maybe my commitment ought to be to listen to his voice more as I prepare to step into 2018 and not be so self-willed, but aim to do what thus saith the Lord. Something else here, and I'll be out of your way. Joseph does something else rather interesting. He teaches us that we should pursue joy in the Lord. Pursue joy in the Lord. We can pursue joy and a lot of things. Sometimes we think that we can find maybe the pursuit of our career and our academics and our training and our skill sets and the house you have, the bank account. To some of us, that's pretty joyous stuff, and nothing's wrong with any of that. But like you, I've learned that doesn't really last too long. It's fleeting. I mean, you enjoy the house for a moment, but after a while, you kind of get used to it. The car, the job, the degrees, all of that. But there's still, you can have all that in an emptiness and really not have joy. You know, folks, they're putting their ladder against the wrong wall and thinking that that's going to be the one, and they discover that it's not. But real joy is my pursuit of joy in him. He is the source of my joy. Not my things, not my stuff, not my accomplishments. None of those, they all pale in comparison to the joy that I have in him. So maybe the missing link is that maybe we're not pursuing our joy in him. Because the moment we begin to pursue our joy in him, it doesn't matter what may come your way. Because my joy is in the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that I think or ask. My faith and trust is in him, in whom I live, move, and have my very being. And Joseph goes on to take Mary. His obedience was something that he did. He was obedient to the voice of God. And maybe when he starts talking, I need to begin to lean in more, not only listen, but then begin to practice what he says to do. What's interesting is that joy and trust are connected. They're connected. You can't have joy, really, without trusting God. Psalm 33:21 says, "For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name." Psalm 5:10, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing of joy." Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and the shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give him thanks." We see a connection between joy and trust. So here it is. The more I trust him with all areas of my life, the more joy I'm able to experience, because I'm placing my trust in him. And that becomes the source of my joy. You can lose your job. You can lose your house. Your degrees, after a while, folk always got another degree than you have. All of those things are great. But I want my trust to be in him. Jesus, Yeshua. That's where I want it at. Joseph did this again because the Bible says he was a righteous man, a just man. So he's able to do what the Lord said because he had some history with the Lord. And don't you know it is amazing that when you have some history with someone, you kind of know what to expect? Be it good or bad, you know what to expect. And in the case of God and Christ, we know what to expect from him because he's always been faithful. He's never failed us yet. He loves us unconditionally. We never put ourselves in a bad predicament when we place our trust in him. We can put all of our eggs in one basket as it relates to our God. Trusting God is a moment by moment. I trust God's promises. I trust past victories that brings joy. I trust God's faithfulness that brings joy. I trust God with my family that brings joy. I trust him with my children that brings joy because I'm trusting him. Proverbs tells us, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." He gives us a promise that we can claim moment by moment. And something else that we need to do if we're going to pursue joy in him, we've got to learn to delight in him. Delight means glad, great, pleasure. I'm satisfied in him. When I delight in him, I'm doing God's will. Says Psalm 40:8 says, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written in my heart." Proverbs 15:8 says, "The prayer of the upright is his delight." I rest in him, and therefore I delight in him, and I have joy in him. So, as you pursue joy in the Lord, trust him, delight in him. Find joy in salvation, find joy in forgiveness, find joy in a God of another chance, find joy in a God who has a heavenly home for you, find joy in a God where we are forgiven. We should find joy in the person of Jesus Christ. He used to sing a song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." Disappoint the devil and let him know that you're going to choose joy. I don't care what I'm going through, I'm choosing joy. Come what may, I'm choosing joy. When life doesn't make sense, I'm choosing joy because I'm going to rest in him and trust him and delight in him. Let's pray. Father, we bless your name. We thank you so much that even when it's hard to keep our joy, that we can expect the Father's direction, that we can pursue joy in you, and that we have to fight for our joy. Oh God, I pray that that be something that your folks can take with them as they go throughout the rest of this week. That there are those seasons when we do find ourselves struggling with different tests. And it seems like the enemy is taking our joy. But help us be ever mindful, O God, that our joy is found in you, in a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for that person here who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin. Lord, they cannot experience the joy of the Lord. And we pray that you might trouble them until they come and surrender their lives unto you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.